Sports Show at FM Talk 106.5. They should be with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. It'll come down Jackson. That's about an hour from now. He's a host at WVN, also at Yale Hammer News. And then our Monday regular, Shane Stringer, state representative from Citronell, will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. And we'll get caught up on busy times once again in the Alabama political realm. But joining us now, a candidate for United States Senate, but he's also our attorney general and hopefully can give some clarity on sort of what's going on here. But Steve Marshall joins us on the line. General, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Jeff. It's busy time, as you can imagine right now for us.
Yeah, it's sanity, I would have to think. But well, we know the news. I think there's a lot of just misconceptions. I don't know, like, really understand it fully, and I should, but there's just a bunch of different things you're hearing about our current circumstances. So kind of we get the Supreme Court ruling on Louisiana last week, and we're told initially there's nothing we can do about it. We're stuck with these maps till 2030. And you and the governor, I guess, were kind of had two different messages on that. But we're sitting here today in a special session. What are our options here, I guess, as the state, as it pertains to the state of Alabama?
Yeah, let me give you just procedurally kind of where things stand. You know, while the Supreme Court is deciding the Calais case, the Alabama redistricting challenge was sitting waiting for the court to grant certiorari to see whether or not they would consider our arguments on the three-judge panel's map that they used moving forward. So following Calais, which was a remarkable decision for us, by the way, advancing the arguments that we've been making for quite some time, we've asked for the Supreme Court, in light of that decision, to remand the case back, to vacate the injunction, and require the three-judge panel to reconsider what they've done. And in the event the court does that, it frees up the legislature. In the event, particularly if we're able to push the deadlines back for the congressional primary, as well as, and let's not forget, we have two state Senate districts that are part of this as well. But if we can push those deadlines back, it gives us longer amount of time to be able to litigate it. Because obviously right now we're staring at a May 19th primary. That has an impact on kind of what's going on and what we can do. And then hopefully we get the relief that we're seeking from the Supreme Court. Then we'll free up the legislature to be able to act in a way that they want to regarding the maps.
So, and is it possible that we are looking at something completely different, either in these Senate elections or in this congressional race?
Yeah, I think it's you talk from where the status quo is now.
Yeah, because look at it, and there's a lot of talk that they're going to go to Montgomery and draw new maps. I don't think that's going to happen. But is that? I mean, how do we get there?
Yeah, I think you're dealing with two different scenarios. One, the state Senate districts. I think if we're able to get the relief to vacate the underlying order, I think you would just simply see the legislature go back to the map that they had originally adopted, which is the Will Barfoot district and the Kirk Hatcher districts basically flip-flopped. And I could see them going back to that original line. I think the issue for the legislature would be if we were able to get similar relief in the federal House seats, what they wanted to be able to do moving forward. And right now, because of the three-judge panel order, you know, their hands are tied, but in the event that we're able to get that changed, then it gives them the flexibility to move. And again, I think timing is one of the critical elements here. And to be able to do a new map, they'd have to come back in to special session again to be able to do it. We're not engaged in those discussions. My job is to do everything we can on the litigation side to give them the power and the flexibility to do what they need to do. And that's our focus, and that's what we'll continue working on.
Well, it was explained to me on Milligan that they were very careful the way they argued it. That it wasn't a case that dealt with the Voting Rights Act. It was more of a constitutional case. So the three-judge panel and the injunctions they have in place, while this was certainly good, I guess, for that, you know, the getting that challenge to it, that they're not necessarily directly related.
They're not in the sense of directly, but they are connected. And in fact, Pillay talks about kind of the connection between a Section 2 claim and a 14th Amendment claim. And there's no doubt in the three-judge panel, Jeff, let's just back up. If you look at the original map Alabama had that was challenged and the 2023 map that the legislature adopted, I don't think there's any doubt that now, based on how Pillay has been describing the challenge to voting rights cases moving forward, that we would have survived that challenge. What the question becomes is, will the court feel like that the secondary constitutional argument is something that they can remain in place without vacating the entire order itself? And the three-judge panel very much linked the 2023 map that was drawn and the way it was drawn to the 14th Amendment analysis that they did. Now, I think it's abundantly clear that if you look at what the legislature did in response to the three-judge panel's request, it drew a fully compliant map, not only with Section 2, but also with the Constitution.
So, and then I guess there's an element of this. I mean, this three-judge panel, particularly one of the judges, there seems to be, if you read some of the opinions, very harsh tone about Alabama, about the legislature and what we did there. Do you think they'll cooperate on any of this, or is this something that they could drag out?
Yeah, that's the great question. I mean, look, the court's going to understand the urgency. We're going to file everything that we can to compel swift action. But if the Supreme Court vacates, then that eliminates the timing question from the 11th Circuit, because they'll go back to the arguments that were before them in light of Pillay, which I think includes having to get additional testimony because the court dramatically changed how you weight historical evidence versus the current reality. And Jeff, I think that's one of the greatest victories of Pillay for the South as a whole, is that the court recognized that the Alabama of 2026 is not the Alabama of when the Voting Rights Act was passed itself. And to the extent that you hear so much of the lamenting of the left, they won't acknowledge that you didn't even have the application of the Voting Rights Act redistricting until the 90s. I mean, that's only a recent creature and a recent occurrence. And the fact that liberal judges crafted remedies that were never part of the design of Section 2 needs to be something that they're going to have to address, because, look, they're not worried about it in New England, whether or not it's a wholly blue state. And the fact that somehow or another Alabama would respond in a similar way, and as opposed to being partisan, as being racist, that's just simply not facts.
Well, let's talk about it like this, though. Let's get to 2030. I mean, is it a whole new ball game and reapportionment, new census? You know, will this apply in a way that would ultimately, if we don't get relief in either this cycle or 2028, that it could really change things in 2030 and beyond?
There's no doubt about that. And in fact, if you want to know the one certainty of where we are, is that Alabama is going to be postured in a very good position 2030 moving forward. And I think, again, that's one of the lasting legacies of what Justice Alito has now written and what Justice Thomas has been singing from this page for quite some time. And pleased to see the court finally, both with Chief Justice and Justice Kavanaugh, kind of coming along now. I think Alabama is going to be postured in a very good spot moving forward.
Does this special session set things up in a way that's that you're getting everything you need, or that the state would need done in the event that you do get some relief with this emergency request?
Yeah, it's given us time. In fact, you know, one of the arguments that will be used against us is this case called Purcell, which we used, frankly, to get the stay previously on the Milligan case, is whether or not election officials would have sufficient amount of time to conduct a safe, secure, and fair election. And so what the legislature is doing is allowing for dates to be modified and changed in a way that gives Secretary Allen and his team, along with local officials across the state, an opportunity in the event that we're able to use a different map to be able to conduct that election. And there's timetables that have to be met, both with military ballots and other issues that go along with the election itself. And this special session is giving us flexibility to litigate that question with a May 19th primary that otherwise would.
Yeah, because a week away or 2 weeks away, and May 19th may not be, it's not feasible, but certainly if we can do something else election wise later in the year, then that's sort of the hope here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the hope, and I know that's the purpose for the special session gathering here this week.
Joined by Steve Marshall, your Attorney General, also candidate for United States Senate. Well, tell me how you're having to juggle this and run a U.S. Senate campaign. How's the campaign going?
Yeah, campaign's still going well. I mean, look, we're 2 weeks away, but yeah, the people of Alabama right now want to make sure that, you know, I don't lose sight of the day job, right? And I got to make sure that we're leading our team to be as aggressive as we can, to be able to do everything that we can to enhance our ability to be successful. But you know, we'll be in Mobile tonight and around the state for the rest of the week, and excited for the opportunity that we get on May 19th to be able to allow the people of Alabama to understand again what we've done to take on those tough issues and deliver results to the people of Alabama. We want to be able to do that in a way that we've done in your AG, to be able to do it in the United States Senate.
Tell me, what's the response? I mean, I assume did you've heard from the Trump administration on this, the DOJ, or you know that they're very like-minded here. They may probably even want to be a tad more aggressive, I would assume. But those guys stepped in when you needed them to?
Yeah, we've not had any direct conversation directly with the president's team. They are aware, obviously, of the procedural sort of status where we are, which is different than, say, Florida and Mississippi and where Louisiana stands now. So they understand the work that we've done. But we have been as aggressive as we can be and pushing what pleadings that we need to put in place to get us the opportunity to get the relief that we need to move forward. And got to believe the president's team is pleased with everything that we've done.
We'll go back to 2023 for a moment. And you know, what your office was sort of encouraging with that process. Is there someone, I wondered this, do you feel somewhat vindicated here that you were making, Eddie LaCour was making these arguments, and despite what we were hearing from some other members, though, but this was sort of, to get to where we are, this is what they needed to do at that time?
I do, and it's really, Jeff, no different in some ways than the fight that we had historically to eliminate Roe versus Wade, is that it was the continued litigation, making consistent arguments. If the court finally adopted in Dobbs, we've seen that same thing happen here in redistricting litigation. We said color should not be a basis for drawing districts. We cannot allow race to predominate. We didn't get all five. We got four of the justices in our initial decision, obviously pulled over two more this time. But if you look at the briefs that we filed in Milligan, if you look at the briefs that we filed in support of Louisiana's case, the court, through Justice Alito's writing, lockstep, took out our arguments, made them the majority opinion in this case, and Alabama's arguments have been vindicated moving forward. We just now need to get the relief Alabama needs.
But this is kind of, you bring up the Dobbs case and the analogy there. This is just a product of Democrats or institutional leftists overreaching. Mark Elias and Eric Holder, they've been doing this game for decades with reapportionment and going to court and suing over maps, especially southern states. But with Louisiana, at least, my analysis is they got greedy there, trying to squeeze out another seat or two, and also with Alabama. And that put the entire sort of structure that we've been operating on, at least since the 1990s, in question. And it got scrutiny, and it didn't turn out favorably for those guys.
No, Joe, I think that's a great point, because if you look at Mississippi's case that caused Roe to be overturned, the fight over there was a 2-week window from which abortions could occur. And because the left made the strategic decision to challenge that law, they then lost the provisions of Roe versus Wade. I think you're absolutely on point. Mark Elias and Erica Holder are going to see this as a really, really bad call for them. And as a result of that, we're going to be able to eliminate what has been a cash cow for Mark Elias for many years, eliminate that from being an effective tool moving forward.
General, folks want to find out more about your Senate campaign or anything else, how could they do so?
Yeah, stevearforsenate.com, but we're going to have lots of good information on the AG's website right now relating to the litigation involving redistricting, and they can go there for more information.
Steve Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. General, we appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FN Talk 106.5. Bulldog the Mississippi.